Church, good morning. Will you stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning? The sermon today is from Revelation 1, and we'll be reading the first three verses. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. This is the word of the Lord. Do you hear that, church? We're already blessed today because we heard this word and we spoke it aloud in this place. About 4 weeks ago, I began reading the book of Revelation on my own for my own personal study and for future teaching. And after finishing the first three chapters, I felt greatly impressed of the spirit of a message for our church. I've never asked to preach before in my life. I've never just gone up and said, hey, I need to preach today. It's never happened, but it was such on me that I decided to reach out to the preaching team and ask them if I could preach on July 14th. They informed me that we had Brenna Mack that was going to be speaking today, and I agreed with them we should not move Brenna Mack and inconvenience her. I thought I was willing to inconvenience Hunter, but not Brenna. So I yielded to that, and we picked another day. Well, let's see. Only Hunter and E were aware of this request. Events of this week, however, soon revealed it necessary to move Brenna. And as we sat together, the elders discussed who should speak this morning in her stead. Juan suggested me, and everyone agreed. I didn't realize till later that it was the 14th. And I tell you this only to show how the Spirit has been moving and leading us. I believe it to be a testimony of how the Spirit was moving ahead of us. We've navigated some difficult waters, not perfectly, but I believe faithfully. I'm not preaching that particular message today. That will be for another time. And I don't believe it's me in particular that you need to hear this morning. But what I do believe is that God wanted this passage, Revelation 1, to be read and heard today. You may think that's strange, a book that we believe is about the end times, that we should be using that this morning. But in verse 19 of this chapter, Jesus told John to write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place. While it is true that most of this book is about what will take place later, it is also about what is now. It's not just about the end of the world as we know it, so don't get afraid, or about just the return of Christ and the setting up of his kingdom. The first three chapters are about the state of the church, then and now. And what Jesus is doing presently in our midst as the head of his church, the ecclesia, his gathering of people together, which makes this passage relevant for today and our current circumstances. Ultimately, this book is about Jesus Christ. The opening statement we just read says, the revelation from Jesus Christ. Many translations say, we'll say it this way, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Both translations work. This means that Jesus is both the source and the subject of this revelation. So before our eyes get diverted to someone or something else, I want us to cast our full gaze on Jesus this morning. It has been said that we cannot for a moment take our focus off Christ and hope to understand what it means to be his redeemed and empowered people. Christianity is Christ-focused, Christ-defined, and Christ-led, or it is not Christianity. And if there has been a time when we need the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ, the character of Christ, the love of Christ? It's now. The Jesus we're going to look at this morning may be a Jesus you haven't seen before. John had never seen Jesus like this before. Here's how John describes him in verses 12 through 16. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in its brilliance. John had lived with Jesus for 3 years. He had seen the human Jesus. He had seen the transfigured Jesus. He had seen the crucified Jesus. He had seen the dead Jesus. He had seen the resurrected Jesus. And the last time he saw him, he witnessed the ascending Jesus, the ascending Jesus to his throne. But John had never seen Jesus like this before. And John, and he goes on to say, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And you may say, Ray, this feels like scary Jesus. But don't go there. It's not scary Jesus. Because Jesus immediately reaches out and puts his hand on John and says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid this morning, church. We have a Jesus that's over us, who's the head of our church, and I hope you'll feel his hand on your shoulder saying, don't be afraid. He said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. He's saying, John, it's me. It really is me. I'm the one that you saw, that we walked together and loved, and I loved you, and you saw all that we've done. It is really me. You may say, Ray, why do you want us to see this Jesus this morning? I want you to see this Jesus because this is the Jesus that he wants you to see. This is his revelation. And we are blessed to hear it and see it. Look at where this Jesus is. He is walking among the seven golden lampstands. The golden lampstands represent seven churches. He's going to dictate seven letters to these churches that are going to show and prove that he has eyes that penetrate and burn and can look into each church and see the good and the bad that's in each one. He walks among the he also has a word for every church. And every word that he speaks is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And he knows how to use that to direct, rebuke, heal, and save these churches, and to save ours. He died for the church. He loves the church as his own bride. And let's take one step further. He's doing the same for Providence. Providence is one of his lampstands. I've often imagined that all our CGs are lampstands, and he's walking freely among us. He knows what's going on. He knows each of you. He knows you by name. He knows what you're going to do today, what you're thinking about doing today, what you're thinking about doing later. He knows the genuineness of your heart. He knows. He has eyes blazing like fire that can penetrate every heart. Nothing's going to be hidden. Nothing's ever hidden from him. And he walks. He sees everything. He also has words to share with us and for us. Words that we can trust. He's our Savior, he's our head, and he's our bridegroom. So what should we expect from this Jesus? I keep saying this Jesus as if he's a different Jesus. He's the same Jesus that we know, love, and worship, and share. Let's back up to verses 5 and 6 of this chapter. He says, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from whom is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Make no doubt about it. This is the same Jesus who loves us, cares for us, freed us, made us a kingdom where we serve as his priests, put us in a family, who sits on a throne at the right hand of God over all the earth. Friends, we are in a blessed and safe place today. We are blessed just to read this and hear this, and even more blessed if we believe it. Amen. This is not a place of condemnation today. Paul wrote in Romans 8 that there is no more condemnation. And he said, if God is for us, do you believe that, church? Do you believe that God is for us? Amen. And take it even further, do you believe that God is for you? Amen. The one next to you, is God for us? If we believe that, then who can stand against us? Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Listen, he says no one. Not you, not me, not even the one who has the right to condemn. Christ Jesus, the only one who could condemn us, is the one who died for us. More than that, he was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. So don't be afraid today, church. We are in perfect hands. What else can we expect today? We can expect grace and peace. Just like the days of John, we can expect grace and peace in troubling times. We can expect grace and peace, not only from Jesus Christ, but also from the Father who is and who was and who is to come. And from the Spirit, the seven spirits before the throne, the complete and full Holy Spirit. Our triune God is here to bestow on us grace and peace. God knows we need it today. Our eyes are about to be diverted. Our ears are about to hear hard news. Our hearts are going to sink and break. But I want you to know, church, there's grace and peace for you. For everyone who sits in this room today, there is grace and peace for the offenders and the offended. There is grace and peace for the hurting and the broken. There is grace and peace available to all of us. Because this Jesus, the one who loves and cares for us, walks among us. The Lord Jesus will repeat over and over to his churches in Revelation. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Close your eyes a moment with me as we close. Can you picture this Jesus walking among us? Do you feel his hand on your shoulder saying, don't be afraid? What have you heard so far? What is the Spirit saying to you? He wants to give you the grace you need for this moment. This grace may look different for each of us, but he has grace for all of us. Will you simply say in your silence, thank you for your grace. I receive it. Let me feel your peace as we go into our family conversation. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for being our head, for being our Savior, for being our Father, for being our Spirit. Thank you for being over us, in us, with us. And God, I thank you that you have a care for this body that goes beyond our comprehension and understanding. So I pray you bless us today in Jesus' name.